The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyers rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Jane Payton. She's an alcoholics drinks educator, broadcaster, pub expert, writer, and founder of the School of Booze. Jane was the UK's first accredited pommelier or cider sommelier and Britain's first beer sommelier of the year. She's the instigator and driving force of the UK's annual National Beer Day, which is Beer Day Britain. And that is tomorrow, the 15th of June. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Hello, Hannah. Thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us and happy Beer Day for tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I hope you'll be raising a glass as well.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. So I'm really interested and intrigued how somebody becomes an alcoholic drinks educator. I can't even say it.
I do have a very unusual job. Well, I specialise in beer, cider and wine education, and I've studied all those subjects at the official education organisations, which for beer and cider is the Beer and Cider Academy based in Britain. But what you get when you're accredited through them is an internationally recognised accreditation. So I'm a beer sommelier and a pommelier. And then through the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, which is the official education in Britain anyway for wine, I'm also a accredited wine expert. I started a business called the School of Booze because I wanted to educate people about alcohol, not just in class as in teaching hospitality staff, but anybody who was interested to know. And if they wanted to come along to a beer tasting, for instance, if it was a business group, a corporate group, to have some sort of corporate entertaining, I could offer that to them. So I do all sorts of things at the School of Booze, and I go to the pub quite often, which is lovely because I love being in the pub. And I was just there yesterday. I live in Brighton in the UK, and I was just in some lovely pubs yesterday drinking some great beer.
Fabulous. So do you find that a lot of people that come to classes maybe think they know more than they do just because they enjoy drinking, whether it's wine or beer or cider, and therefore feel like they know a bit about it, but in reality maybe don't?
Well, I do find that, and I particularly find that when I do anything related to beer, and if it's men. So men try and prove to me that they know more about beer than I do. They have no connection to the beer world, by the way, apart from drinking it and enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I do often try and get men trying to get one over on me in terms of their knowledge, and it's usually wrong, in fact. So, yes, but people do that, and you know, it's understandable, something they enjoy and they do a lot of, and they think they're good at it. And so sometimes they forget that professionals have studied really deeply into this subject and also enjoy the drink, but really have gone into the academic side of it, which I have.
So looking at beer, first of all, when people talk about beer, they often mean lager, don't they? Which is very different. How would you describe the difference between beers, lagers and ales, for example?
Well, that is the number one question I'm asked all the time whenever I do anything to do with beer. So I describe it this way, that beer is the umbrella term that you use to describe a drink made from fermented cereal, an alcoholic drink made from fermented cereal. And if you think of tea is the umbrella term. And under that term, you get green tea, Darjeeling, Earl Grey, herbal. You get hundreds of different types of tea. They are all tea. With beer, I describe it this way, that there are three branches in the family tree of beer. Ale is one of them, and that includes many beers, for instance, India Pale Ale, wheat beers, stout, porter, mild, dozens of different styles of ales. And then there's a family called lagers, which is the Pilsner, the pale lager that most people think of when they think of beer, which is the Heinekens, the San Miguels, Carlsberg, those sorts of international brands. And then there's a third branch, which is wild fermentation. So those beers tend to be sour because the yeast used to ferment them is an unusual, wild, uncultured yeast that gives a sourness to the beer. And to put it really quickly, the big difference between the ales and the lagers is the strain of yeast that's used to ferment them, and also the mineral content of the water. And that's it. But they are all beer.
Okay. And there are obviously lots of people who drink lagers, if you like, in pubs, you know, used to drinking pints of lager, that don't like ale. That they can be very different. Just because you like one, it doesn't mean you like the other.
No, exactly. And also there's another thing. When people say, oh, I'll have lager, what they usually mean is I'll have the pale Pilsner style lager, but there are dozens of different lagers. There's black lagers, brown ones, mahogany coloured ones, red ones. There's all sorts of different lagers. Usually what the people who say, oh, I don't like ale, it's the body of the ale that they're not so keen on, because it tends to be a bigger body with an ale. But also most ales are not carbonated, artificially carbonated. And the people who drink the lagers, the pale lagers, really like that carbonation. They like the chilled down nature of the beer. And if you're drinking a real ale, for instance, it's not heavily chilled and it's not usually not highly carbonated. So there are lots of differences. It's not just to do with the flavour, it's to do with the texture, the drink experience, the temperature and the body of the beer. That's usually the difference of people preferring one style over the other.
Yeah. And in terms of quality, is there, I mean, I don't expect you to dumb down any brand names or anything, but I mean, is ale kind of looked after more, produced better? I mean, is there any kind of quality difference between the two, or not necessarily?
There is a difference between them. Now, most lager brands, the pale lagers, are made by humongous corporations in huge volumes. Mm. The word lager comes from a German word, Lagerung, which means to store. So what you need to do with the proper lager beer is mature it for months. Now, the big corporations can't do that because they don't have room and space to do it, or financially, you know, it's not a thing for them because they're very concerned about the bottom line and making big profits. So they add enzymes to the beer, which speeds up all the processes. So you can, they, some of these big companies, will make lager beers in 5 to 10 days, where it should be several months to make a proper lager. So that's all I'll say for that. So I think listeners can make their own decision from that.
Yep.
Ales, if you are drinking real ale, so, you know, you're in a pub, it's been hand-pumped into the glass, not artificially carbonated, natural beer, that is really high-maintenance beer because it needs a lot of looking after. And if you don't drink it quickly and you let it just sit in the cask for more than 3 days, it's going to start going turn into vinegar. So that's a poor quality beer then. It didn't start off as a poor quality beer, but the way it's being kept or handled when it's in the pub, that's then what turns it from a great quality beer to something that's past its best. It's like food. If you have, I don't know, like a chicken pie or something, and you leave it out on the windowsill and it gets a bit warm, it'll start going yucky quite quickly.
Mm.
So if we think of beer, real ale in particular, as being a living food, because beer is food, it's made from a food source, then you have to treat it really well and you have to respect it and coax it along.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And how about the idea of home brewing? And, you know, you can buy beer making kits for not much money these days. Are they generally not really that great, or can you make something half decent out of them?
Well, some people do actually, especially with the kits. I mean, really, yeah. It's a little add water and then wait for a few days. I don't. I mean, I have brewed. I describe brewing as like cooking, but with bigger vessels and more washing up. Basically, brewing is washing up and cleaning, seriously. And brewers, professional brewers, do it much better than non-professionals. So I'd just rather go to the pub and drink somebody else's great beer than make it myself.
Yes.
But no, I mean, some people love it and they love that challenge and they enjoy the whole process of it. And so, yeah, I mean, there's some really good brew kits around now, and it makes your beer a lot less expensive because you're not paying all that tax and duty, which in the UK, certainly, it's heavily taxed. Mm. So most of the price of your beer, your glass of beer is actually tax, or, you know, a big proportion of it.
Yeah, it's crazy how much the prices have gone up, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And has your taste buds changed throughout the years of you doing this? Did you used to like one type of beer, and has that changed?
It has, actually. Funnily enough, I'm from Yorkshire originally, and ale, we love our ales up there. So I started off being a real ale drinker as a teenager, and I've always liked bitterness. And then a few years ago, when I'd started working in beer and being more interested from a professional academic point of view, I tried some Belgian sour beers, which at first taste are a little bit like grapefruit juice. And I couldn't believe it. Oh my goodness, I don't know if I like this or not, but I've grown to really love them. And our taste buds do change as we get older anyway, because they're not as subtle, and we can handle more flavour as we get older and need more flavour because we're losing our senses in that way. So yes, I'd say that the bigger flavoured beers are the ones that I prefer now. Mm. But I was never a drinker of pale lagers, because you couldn't really get good ones in Britain. And now, because there's so many craft breweries around, some of the craft brewers are specialising in lager beers. So I've been introduced to some incredible lagers, and ones that I'd never even heard of, Czech Republic style ones, some of the old German style. So I'm having a new appreciation for lagers, actually, but you can't buy those very widely in the pubs.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's when I go to the pub, it's ale.
Yeah, interesting. And if you buy beer to have at home, can you just, is there a good enough selection of the kind of beers that you like in the supermarket, or would you order more specialist things online?
The supermarkets they tend to have a really good selection of ale now, but I like to support the independent brewers, the smaller brewers, and they all have shops now online. So if I buy directly from them, they're getting all the profit, and I'm supporting an indie small business. So yes, I do get, depending on my mood, at home I usually drink pale ales with lots of hops and bitterness. If I'm in the pub, I might, and the weather, or depending who I'm with, I might drink a dark stout or a porter style. So it very much depends where I am and who I'm with. But I prefer to support the indies and the small breweries.
Yeah, nice. And with Beer Day, which is tomorrow in the UK, Beer Day Britain, what do you suggest people do, even if we're not in Britain? How should we celebrate Beer Day tomorrow?
Well, I know in Spain and in different parts of Europe where your show is broadcast, very much beer drinkers, many of those countries. So just find a beer that you enjoy, have a drink of it, and then at 7 o'clock, whether you're at that 7 in the UK or 7 where your listeners are in the continental Europe, raise a glass of beer, say cheers to beer. You are joining in the national cheers to beer. In your case, it would be the international cheers to beer. And then post a social media message with the hashtag cheers to beer. So it's just a really simple way of uniting people across the world and across the UK in something that makes us happy. It's the national drink of the UK, the national alcoholic drink. It's the national drink of many countries in Europe as well. And it just brings us together in a really friendly, fun, easy way that's inexpensive and gives us fun and companionship.
Yeah, brilliant. Hashtag cheers to beer. Okay, we'll do that tomorrow, definitely. And what are your thoughts on adding things to beer, either within the drink, so buying a can of something that has something else added to it, or people adding something to it at home, whether it's things like lemonade, lime, blackcurrant, all kinds of things like that. What are your thoughts on adding something sweeter, I guess, to change the flavour of the beer?
Well, I think people should drink what they enjoy. And if somebody tries to go waggy finger, you don't do that, ignore them, because it's you that's drinking it. And if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. I mean, I used to drink lager and black and lager and lime when I was a teenager. I like a shandy even now. I don't mind at all. I mean, going back in history, when beer was first brewed, and we don't know when beer was first brewed, but it was probably at least 13,000 years ago. And hops didn't exist then, because where beer was first brewed was the Middle East. So what was known as the Fertile Crescent, and hops weren't there. So other things were used to give bitterness to the beer, herbs and spices, but also to add flavorings. Also, because it was wild fermentation, it was wild yeast in the air that was fermenting the cereals, usually an additional source of fermentable material was added. So fruit, for instance, dates, things like that. So the yeast would be able to ferment the sugars in the fruit and then give you alcohol. So right from the beginning, beer has always had other things in it than what we now think of as beer, which is four basic ingredients: water, malted cereal, hops, yeast. Right from the beginning, they didn't have hops. They didn't know what yeast was. So basically, it was water and cereal plus whatever else they wanted to throw in.
Yeah, because I really got into Guinness a few years ago on St. Patrick's Day. I'd had a few sips beforehand and thought, not really sure it's me. Then a few years ago, really got into it, and I love it now. But I do, I don't have to have blackcurrant with it, but I do prefer it with a little bit of blackcurrant in it. And lots of Irish people always say, oh, sacrilege, you can't put that with Guinness.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. I mean, you enjoy it, and it does slightly sweeten it, because the roasted character in Guinness is quite intense, isn't it, and bitter. In China, it's customary to have a really good French wine, like a Bordeaux, and add Coca-Cola to it.
No.
I know. So we have that reaction. And then the Chinese say, you put milk in tea.
Yes, good point.
That's the answer to that. So yeah. I say, if it makes you happy, do it.
Absolutely. Although I am struggling to deal with Coca-Cola with wine. Wow. Well, how funny. Well, if people want more information about a Beer Day Britain, if they want to get involved, there's a website, isn't there?
Yes, it's just beerdaybritain.co.uk.
Great, beerdaybritain.co.uk. And do you have a website, Jane?
I do, School of Booze. So people can have a look on there if they're interested. I write books, and I've got online learning courses for beer, cider and wine, if anybody wants to have really good foundational knowledge.
Great, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, Jane. Lovely to chat with you, and happy beer day tomorrow. Hashtag cheers to beer.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It's been lovely to speak to you as well. And cheers to all your listeners as well.
Thanks, Jane. Bye-bye.